Your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1, 6, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he talks about being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to look into the Word. And I pray that this morning you speak to our hearts and help us to understand. Give us each something from the Word of God that'll be a blessing and a help to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past few weeks, we've thought about the meaning of Christmas. And as we thought about that subject, we said that Christmas is all about God bringing salvation from sin to us through the person of Jesus Christ. We've seen that through Christ, God has carried out a plan to bring sinful men and women and boys and girls into a personal love relationship with himself so that we might be part of his family and become like Jesus. And we've talked about how through accepting Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, we become the beneficiaries of the salvation that God has provided through him. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul tells us that he was confident that God was competent to complete what he has begun in those of us who have accepted Christ. As the old saying goes, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul deals with three aspects of our salvation that have been provided for us in Christ. He tells us three things about the work of salvation that God brings about in the life of those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Now, as we look carefully at this verse, we see, first of all, salvation begun. Salvation begun. You'll notice the phrase where it says, he which hath begun a good work in you. Our salvation commences with the decision to accept Christ as our personal Savior. And when we do, at that point, we are set free from the penalty of sin. And this is something that is taught to us all through the Word of God. For instance, in John 3, verses 16 to 18, we're familiar with verse 16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it goes on and says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so there we see that for our salvation, for our eternal life to commence, we must believe. We must put our faith and our trust in Christ. Jesus said in John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Through faith in Christ, I have been saved from the penalty of sin because I have accepted the payment of Christ on the cross. Now, in order for that to happen, I first had to come to grips with the fact that I was a sinner deserving condemnation. I had to realize my need to be saved. And unfortunately, many people don't see themselves as sinners in need of salvation. They don't want to face up to what we're told in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so they make excuses like, well, my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds, or I'm not as bad as some people, or usually I'm a good person. And they don't feel like the fact that they're not perfect in those areas, that will jeopardize their standing before Almighty God. But it will. It will. Think of it this way. Imagine a citizen being brought to trial for several charges of shoplifting. And he stands before the judge and he says to the judge, yeah, I stole that stuff. But don't forget, my good deeds outweigh my bad. I'm not as bad as many others. I didn't steal as much as other people. And most of the time, I'm a good law-abiding citizen. You see how ridiculous that sounds? And yet people think that these excuses will work when they stand before the judge of the universe. But no. That is not the way that it works. The offender must be judged according to the offense, not according to previous good deeds. If justice is to be done, someone must pay, and that someone should be the offender. Unless someone else is allowed to bear the penalty instead. And that's exactly what Christ, in love, did for all sinners, including you and I. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth or showed forth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this death of Christ in our place is something that was prophesied many, many, many years before by the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53, about 600 years before Christ entered the world in Bethlehem, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus, who died in our place on the cross. We are made right in God's sight when we trust Jesus to take away our sins. Now, I want you to take and turn with me, put a marker in Philippians 1. We're coming back, but look at Romans 3 for a moment. We're all familiar with verse 23. I've already quoted it this morning, but I don't think we're quite so familiar with the verse before it and the verse after it, verses 22 and 24. So Romans chapter 3, if you would. And verse 22 says, well, let's go back to verse 21 because that's where the sentence begins. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so there we see that we are made right in God's sight. We are justified in his eyes when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And that's where salvation begins. When we trust in Christ, God begins a good work in us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it talks about Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so there we see that Christ carried the burden for our sins when he was nailed to the cross, so that we could be set free from sin's penalty. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've opened your heart and received him and trusted him as your Savior, that is a past event for you. That is a past event. But if you're not a believer, if you have never called out to Christ to receive him as your Savior and Lord, then you know what? That's your greatest need. That's your greatest need. Your salvation will not begin until you take that step of faith and invite Christ in to be your Savior and Lord. So we see salvation begun the very moment we trust Christ as our Savior. Now, back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the second thing that we see is salvation continued. Look what it says there, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, and you notice this, will perform it. Will perform it. You see, I have been set free from the penalty of sin. I've been saved from that. But I am now in the process of being saved from the power of sin as I acknowledge my position in Christ. A moment ago, I quoted 1 Peter 2:24. Think about it again. His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should do what? Live unto righteousness. Live unto righteousness. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is, when we came to know Christ, in a sense, this old sinful nature of ours was crucified with him so that sin might lose its power in our lives, because we are no longer slaves to sin. By the power of his cross, we can daily overcome the power of sin. And you see, that's the big difference between a lost sinner who sins and a Christian who sins. When a lost sinner sins, he can't do anything about that. He is a slave to sin. It rules his life. But it's different with the Christian. Because we've got Christ in our heart and the Holy Spirit living with us. Yes, we'll sin from time to time, but we have the ability to confess that sin, forsake that sin, and then get up and go on for God. It doesn't have to hold us down. It doesn't have to hold us back. And that is a big difference. A big difference. You and I can experience victory over sin's power as we daily decide to turn from sin's control and yield ourselves to Christ's control. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, our Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When it's talking about yielding your members as instruments of righteousness, it's talking about the parts of your body. It's saying you want to yield your brain to God and be careful about what you think. You want to yield your eyes to God and be careful what you look at. You want to yield your ears to God and be careful what you listen to. You want to yield your mouth to God and be careful what you say. You want to yield your hands to God and be careful what you do. You want to yield your feet to God and be careful where you go. We need to submit and surrender ourselves to him each and every day. That's the process that we're involved in, a daily yielding of ourselves to him. And although we are not yet perfect, and we won't be perfect in this life, it's still true that we are to be growing in Christ-likeness each day. In Romans 8:39, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So when we believe in Christ, we establish this relationship with God, and then every single day we're to be becoming more and more and more like Christ. That is salvation continued. Every day, growing a little bit more like Christ. And so I have been saved from the penalty of sin. That was in the past when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And again, if you haven't taken that step of faith, again, that's your greatest need. But that's past, okay? And then I am being saved right now from the power of sin on a daily basis as I yield myself to Christ. In theological terms, that being set free from the penalty of sin is what the Bible calls justification. And then this daily walk with God, where I am to be becoming more and more like Christ, that's called sanctification, okay? But there's one more thing. There's one more part of this. In Philippians chapter 1, notice it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so there we see salvation concluded. Salvation begun, salvation continued, salvation concluded. God's work of salvation will be concluded when Christ returns to me, for me, or I enter eternity through death. But either way, on that day, I will be made to be completely like Jesus. That is, I will not only be set free from the penalty of sin, and not only set free from the power of sin, but on that day, I will be set free from the very presence of sin once and for all. And that's what we call perfection. Perfection. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And that is salvation completed. And one of these days, I will be saved from the very presence of sin as I enter the presence of Christ. And what a day that will be. What a day that will be. Now, I want you to see what that day will be like, what you will see on that great day. So let's turn to the book of Revelation, and we're going to finish up with this morning. Revelation chapter 21. Good if I could get my pages to separate here. Nope. All right, somebody start reading verse 1 for me and I'll get going here. Oh, never mind, I got it separated. There we go. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And listen to this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And guess what? If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you are trusting in the sacrifice he made for you on the cross and the fact that he rose again 3 days later, you're going to spend eternity in that place, the place of no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more cemeteries, the place where the Savior will rule and reign forever. Someone has said, here in this world, he bids us come, and there in the next, he bids us welcome. Welcome. Philippians 1:6 shows us three aspects of salvation. Salvation begun, a past experience for those who have trusted Christ. We are set free or saved from the penalty of sin when we trust in Christ as our Savior. And then it shows us salvation continued, which is the present work of God in our lives. We're being saved from the power of sin more and more and more as we surrender and yield ourselves to Christ on a daily basis. It's a process that we are going through, a growth in Christ-likeness that will take place until we get to number three, salvation completed. And that is yet in the future, on that great day when we will be set free from the presence of sin forever, when we enter the presence of the Savior. And all of this is taught to us in the Word of God. Now, you might be thinking, that is really kind of a weird Christmas Sunday message. But really, it's not. Because if it was not for the fact that Christ left heaven and on that starry night was born as a little baby boy in Bethlehem, nothing we talked about this morning and nothing we've preached about for the three previous Sundays would be true. None of it would be true. Remember what the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus came to save us from the penalty of sin. He came to save us from the power of sin. He came to save us from the presence of sin. And that is what Christmas is really all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning and the truth that we have seen in the Scriptures. And Lord, our prayer is that there would not be one single person in this room who would leave here without being absolutely sure that they have been saved from the penalty of sin. Lord, we don't want anybody to leave here today without being sure that they know Jesus in their heart as their personal Savior and Lord, so that they can begin the process of becoming more like Christ and then eventually reach perfection in your presence. But Lord, that all begins by a simple step of faith. And our prayer is that not one person would leave here without having taken that step of faith and said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, don't let anybody leave without knowing that Christ is in their heart and that their sins are forgiven and that they are on their way to heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.